This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
And he just lives down the street.
Oh, yeah?
He's a good guy. I want you to meet him. You probably have met him.
Well, I probably have. I know a lot of people, so.
I
bet you know just about everybody around.
He can tell you by the back of your head.
Yeah.
He don't know you from the front. Yeah. I told him one time, I said, Earl, that big mirror that he holds up out there, saying, how's that look? I cleaned you up a little bit or whatever the sayings are. I said, Earl, you ought to get that and take a picture of a bald-headed man and put the back of his head on that. When you hold it up, so he's looking in there and he sees it. he sees a bald back. I just cleaned up.
I told the guy one time, that when I took a mirror, I told the guy, I said, it's the same picture. I said, show it to everybody. I said, no, just a nice looking haircut. Everybody, they don't know, it's the same picture.
Yeah. The guy said, I finally got a good one and took a picture of it.
I remember one time we was cutting hair, Herb and I was cutting hair, and they both guys wore glasses, you know. So I was always messing around. And so I was sitting there. I went to get his glasses to put over and put over here. You know. So I finished mine. So we both finished at the same time. You know. And he come around and he puts his glasses on. He's going,
hey, you know, Bob.
And the other guy was doing the same thing. And we had a lot of fun with him.
That's my buddy.
Finally, all we right. Told him. You know what was going on.
I was there.
He used to cut my hair. Not glasses, but hearing aids.
Yeah.
Well, I have to take the hearing aids off, and then they talk to me.
Yeah.
I can see them talking.
You see anything?
That's a good trick. I can see them talking.
How do you do, sir? Papa, that's Earl. He's the barber over at Bucks. It was. He's retired now.
Oh, okay.
He used to have Top Hat Barbershop in Dover. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Top Hat?
Yeah.
Number one.
He's good. He can tell you need a haircut or a telephone. He don't even need to see you.
Yeah, I can do that too.
You can tell you need a haircut or a telephone?
I'll call you up later and tell you need one.
Okay.
You guys didn't happen to catch a show last night the title of the show was something like Where Slang Words Come From. Okay? So you hear people talk about having somebody over a barrel. You guys know where that term came from? Back in the old riverboat days, if somebody fell overboard, you know, they'd probably be on the verge of drowning and all. So when they finally got them on the boat, they would lean them over a barrel so that they would throw up the water.
Throw the water come out, yeah.
So they wouldn't drown, right? So you had somebody over a barrel, right? You've heard people talk about hearing something over the grapevine, right? Mm-hmm. That goes back to the old gold rush days where, especially in the mountains, it was really hard to put telephone poles in the ground. So when they were stringing wire, if they get to a spot where the ground was really hard, they would simply string the wire from bush to tree, right? Well, you have all this wire up through the mountains just strung everywhere. Wherever a tree or a bush was, the wire went back and forth across the valley or whatever, you know. But somebody looked at it one day and said, you know, it looks like a grapevine, you know. So you're hearing stuff through the grapevine. It looked like grapevine just crawling through the trees and stuff like that, you know. So and that's where that came from.
That's interesting.
And they had a whole, I don't know how many words they went through on that show, but it was like one right after the other like that. Oh. They were talking about...
I seen that in Reader's Digest one time in a book where a lot of that stuff.
It's interesting.
Entertaining.
Yes, it was really good.
And you know where Jeet come from? Jeet?
No,
redneck.
Did you eat?
Oh,
the Jeet. That's redneck.
The cop. Do you ever know where that came from?
Well, that came from the copper in the badge.
No. Constable of the peace.
Constable of the peace. Oh.
We used to say, hey, what's penny made out of? Is it dirty copper? We said, having the cops riding by. then we had to run because we'd give you a hard look. Like, then one that was going to catch us, they would look at you, they'd know who you were, they was going to go tell your dad. You know, that was the bad thing.
And word tip? Like you go to a restaurant and you tip the waiter?
Yep.
To ensure promptness.
Really?
When it first started, people would leave money, so they came again, they would be waited on, served, you know, maybe for somebody to come in before them because they left a tip.
Yeah. You know where the word riffraff comes from?
Pete.
Well, besides Pete.
That'd be neat.
That's good.
He passed that in.
Yeah.
Riffraff comes from, once again, back in the old steamboat days, people often move things on rafts. And they would have a guy that would use a pole or an oar to move the raft around the river, right?
That's how they transfer goods a lot of times.
That's right. Yeah. So the raft was called the raft, but the guy who actually did the oar or the rowing and or the poling, he was the rift.
Rift and raft.
Rift and raft.
Oh,
and they were all, well, you called it a rift and a raft, uh-huh. But they were considered somewhat tough characters, right?
Okay.
So it became synonymous with people who were always into trouble and stuff like that.
You know where toothpick come from?
Where?
Wood.
Wood. Tree.
No. Redneck. Now I have one toothpick. Or my teeth pick.
Okay, so let's pray about it. Father, we thank you for being in this group and for lifting up the people that we pray for. Father, we lift up Betty and Pop-Pop's sister's family and John and Ruth and any of them that are sick or healing, Father. We thank you, Father, because we know that you are the great healer and the great creator. And as the creator, you know how to fix us. And Father, we thank you for moving in our lives and in the lives of all of our friends and relatives. And Father, we thank you for healing them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. In Jesus' name. Okay?
I like it.
So last week we covered it to Romans chapter 2. And we finished chapter 2. And now this week we're going to start on chapter 3. Last week we moved kind of fast because there was a lot of stuff we wanted to cover all in one big hunk there. But we'll slow the pace down this week a little bit because we sort of charged in here last week. So anyhow, we're going to start in Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read from 19 down to, I think it's 30, just to sort of, 29, just to sort of refresh everybody's memory a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we'll actually get into the lesson, okay? So we're in Romans 2, we're going to start in 19, and I'll just go ahead and read down to the end of chapter 2. And it says, "And if you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness," this is amplified version, okay? Because some of the terminology, the way it's phrased in King James gets a little confusing. Even I got a little confused, okay? So I'm going to read it from Amplified this week, okay, because I think it's sort of
clearer.
It's a little clearer, okay? 19 again. "And if you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, and that you are a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the childish, having in the law the embodiment of the knowledge of truth, in truth, well then, you who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? While you teach against stealing, do you steal? Take what does not really belong to you." Verse 22, "You who say not to commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Are you unchaste in action or in thought? You who abhor the loath idiots or idols, do you rob temples? Do you appropriate to your own use what is consecrated to God, thus robbing the sanctuary and doing sacrilege?" So what is he talking about here? He's talking to the Jews, right? And he's and the Jewish leadership.
Yeah.
And he's saying, "You yourself claim to be teachers." And you say that you know the word and that you're doing right and everybody else is doing wrong. Again, you yourself are not any better than those you're teaching.
Yeah, they're dishonoring God.
They're dishonoring God, right? Yeah. And he's going down through this whole thing here where he's really slamming them about how they say one thing, but they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. So this whole lesson tonight is really about walking the walk, not simply talking the talk.
Well, it's still all widows' houses and everything.
All kinds of stuff. You go Matthew, right off the top of my head, I think it's chapter 6, I think.
It looks like it.
And it just goes on and on and on, where he's just slamming them about not walking the walk. You know, they talk the talk, but they're not walking it themselves. And that's what's going on here. He's going back at them again.
And they don't want to. It's not that they weren't learned. They just absolutely did not want to. They was mad at Christ because he interfered with their business.
That's right.
It wasn't a Christianity or religion. It was a business that they had.
To them, that's right.
Yeah, because the mind, like it says, you know, like they were teaching others, but they're not teaching themselves.
That's it. That's exactly right.
They're saying a lot of things, but they're not doing what they're saying.
Now, does that apply? Let me ask a big question. Does that apply today?
Oh, yes. Oh. Definitely.
A lot of places.
Yeah. Okay.
More so, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's changed.
Yeah, we had the word. We don't have to wait for a rabbi to come and tell us the word. We have books.
Yeah. We're responsible for ourselves.
That's right.
To pick the word up and to read it and understand it and do it. Right.
I always say, you know when you're wrong.
Oh yeah. You know it first.
You know it first. I always say.
It's like that old saying: don't do as I do, do as I say to.
That's right. That's right.
You always said that.
but that's basically what he's going through here, you know, and it's important for each of us, and not just us, but
everybody,
to understand that you have no right to teach if you don't live it.
That's right.
You really have no right, and this is basically what God's telling
you. Oh, you hypocrite.
That's right.
You have to set an example.
Where the word come from? Really?
Yep. Did they have that on last night?
No, not that I recall. Okay, so now we're down to verse 23. We're still in Romans 2, 23. And it says, you who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? Mm-hmm. By stealthily infringing upon or carelessly neglecting or openly breaking it? See, it says carelessly neglecting is even a sin. So you have a responsibility. When you get saved, you have a responsibility to read the word and act on it, to live it. Right? And if you're carelessly neglecting it, that's a sin. Verse 24. For it is written, the name of God is maligned and blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Mm-hmm. Not because of God, but because of you. The words to this effect are from your own scripture. Okay. 25. Circumcision does indeed profit if you keep the law. See, circumcision profits you if you keep the law. But if you habitually transgress the law, your circumcision is made non-circumcision. In other words, all of this work that you've done is neglected, negated. 26. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be credited to him as equivalent to circumcision? Right? What he's done is he's twisted it right back around on him, right? So what they're saying is, because I'm circumcised, no matter what I do, I'm okay. So then Paul turns it around and says, okay, if I'm not circumcised, then that means I'm okay, right? Okay.
Because
he's keeping the law, right? Okay. So, and of course, they won't go along with that because they feel that the act of circumcision is what causes them to be Jews. 26. So if a man is uncircumcised, keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be credited to him as equivalent to circumcision? 27. And then those who are physically uncircumcised but keep the law will condemn you who, although you have the code in writing and have circumcision, break it. See, all of this stuff, even though he's talking about the Old Testament, still applies today. Because there's verses in the New Testament that say basically the same thing about believers. 28, for he is not a real Jew who is only one outwardly or publicly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical, but he is a Jew who is one inward and truly circumcised. A true circumcision is of the heart, a spiritual and not literal matter. His praise is not from men, but from God. Right?
Yeah.
Now, did he put down fire? Yeah, just he's blasted away, man. Okay, Ron, if you'll do, now we're in Romans chapter 3. Ron, if you'll do 1 through 5, please.
What advantage then hath the law? What advantage then hath the Jew? For what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man.
Okay, let's go back up to verse 1. It says, and then what advantage remains to the Jews? How is he favored? Or what is the value or benefit of circumcision? Verse 2. Much in every way, to begin with, to the Jews were entrusted the oracles. And this word oracle means the brief communication, the intention, and the utterances of God. So what was entrusted to the Jews? The utterances of God. Right? This is the word, the power of God through speech. Because God said something, the world was brought into existence, right? So the words of God have power and value. And what he's saying is that I have entrusted this to you, my words to you. And now all you're doing is playing games with it. Verse 3, it says, what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and his fidelity to his word? In other words, simply because you sin and you're not faithful to the word of God, does that mean that God's not faithful? No. God's faithful no matter what you do.
If you believe it or if you don't believe it, it does not change the word of God.
Doesn't change God or his word, right?
No.
So what you do doesn't matter to God.
It matters to God, but what you believe ain't going to change it.
That's right. In verse 4, it says, by no means let God be found true through every human being. Let me do that again. By no means let God be found true through every human, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say and prevail when you are judged by sinful men. Verse 5.
Let me read that here. Okay. It says it much better than yours does.
Okay, very good.
It says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saving and mightiest overcome with our judge. So just let God's word be true, and if people don't want to believe it,
that's on
them. They don't have to believe it, but God's word is still true.
That's right.
You know, I've heard a lot of people say there ain't no hell. Well, you can hear the Christian Science say, you can hear the Seventh Day Adventist say that. So no. God would never send you to hell. God would send you to hell. You send yourself to hell.
That's right.
God's not up there saying, well, you's going to hell, but hey, you over there, you're independent, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. It's up to the individual.
That's right.
Some say we're living in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard
yeah.
people say that.
Yeah.
You know that?
Well, it depends on your spouse.
It's cool to be married to.
Well, if you're thinking of what's going on right now, it might be a little bit true.
Well, I'll tell you what, it could convince a lot of people.
That's right.
It's convinced a lot of Republicans that they're living in it.
Okay. Verse 5. But if our righteousness thus establishes and exhibits the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unjust and wrong in inflicting his wrath upon us Jews. I speak in a pure human way. Okay? So the righteousness of God is righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
the
word.
And whatever you do doesn't change that.
No. Nobody can change the word. Period.
Okay.
Word's the word.
Mr. Pete, start verse 6.
Okay, this here, 6 should went with that. So that
okay.
And when you just finished reading, said, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who take advantage? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? Could judge it if there wasn't no hell, so people wasn't no wrong.
That's right.
For if the truth of God had more abound, though my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderous reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, the good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Yeah.
But that made the Jews mad in those times with the temple. Mm-hmm. Said there's none righteous.
Yeah. Basically what they're saying is, if I do something evil, then God will get glory because he's turning my evil into good.
Yeah.
Right? So it's better if I'm evil because then God can do more good. That's basically what this section is talking about.
Oh, yeah. They condone it.
Yeah, they're condoning their own evil. Mm-hmm. And they've come up with an excuse that says, well, I'm okay in doing this because when I do evil, God does better.
Well, so, it expresses his grace through you, and he's ready to forgive you again and say, you can do this and that. But the Bible says you keep going back to that.
Yeah.
Say, you're going to sear your conscience and you're going to be gone forever.
Yeah, that's right. You're burning your own bridge. You're literally burning your own bridge by doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Verse 8. And why should we not do evil that good may come? Right? Isn't that what I just said? Mm-hmm. That we're going to do evil, and in doing so, then God can do great things. And it's a stupid form of logic, if I've never seen one, but that's basically what these people are saying. In verse 8, the second half of it, it says, and as some slanderously charge us with teaching, such false teaching is justly condemned by them. In other words, there are some of you out there who recognize this is stupid, right? And some of you people recognize that doing evil so that God would do good is not what the word's teaching. And that's basically what they just said. In verse 9, it says, and well then, are we Jews superior and better off than they? No, not at all. We have already charged that all men, both Jew and Greek, are under sin, held down by and subject to its power and control. Verse 10. And as it is written, none is righteous, just and truthful and upright and conscientious. No, not one. In other words, all of us are sinners, right? And
well,
we're only saved, or were, and we're saved by grace because Christ came and went to the cross, right? So why put on the big, charade and say, oh well, I'm a rabbi or whatever, therefore I'm doing the work of God and I'm right. That's no different than saying, a priest that steals from his flock or does.
Well, they did. They kept all the loot.
Yeah, or catch moving or whatever.
In there to feed all the poor.
Poor or whatever, that's orphans. Right. That's right. It's, there's no difference. It, you know, sin is sin. Okay. That was verse 10. Papa, how about 11 through 15, please?
There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their, it's under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood.
Wow. So Paul's telling them, look, you people are really a mess. You got, you guys don't have a clue what it means to walk a righteous life. Because you're doing all of this evil stuff here. It says, their throats are yawning graves, is the way Amplified says. They use their tongues for deceit, to mislead. The venom of asp is between their lips, or beneath their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And this just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did to Christ.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's exactly what they were doing to Christ.
That's where they were.
Okay, Noe, chapter 3, verse 16 through 20, please.
Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped.
I can't give you a page number.
I'm in a different Bible.
Her Bible and my Bible.
Let me finish it for you.
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm
okay. Now we know that whatsoever things the law says, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may know, become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
So the law was given to provide knowledge of sin. In other words,
yeah.
This is good, that's bad.
Right.
Yeah, and
that's the knowledge of sin, right? Pardon?
And he's telling them why he's under grace dispensation,
right.
That the law dispensation is done.
That's right.
And so you're out of your league now, he's telling them.
That's right. That's right.
But they're not changing.
They're not changing, but he's using their word,
against
the Old Testament.
Against themselves.
Against them. That's,
yeah.
That's absolutely right. And so, in doing so, he's basically also using the New Testament against us. Because he's saying, look, this same word you have now, and you need to live it. Simply because I'm picking on the Jews right now doesn't mean that it doesn't also apply to the Christians.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So if the Jews need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, then the Christians need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk.
God gave the law for all men.
For everybody. Oh. For everybody. Okay? And that brought us down to verse 20. And Earl, did you feel like reading? Or?
I tell you what, I got the wrong Bible. I can't see.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Really little.
So I'll catch you next time.
No, that's fine. That's yeah. Absolutely fine.
I can't see over here.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so down in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been revealed independently and altogether apart from the law, although actually it is attested by the law and the prophets, namely the righteousness of God, which cometh by believing with personal trust and confidence, confident reliance on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is meant for all who believe, for there is no distinction. Verse 23, since all have sinned and all and are fallen short of the honor and glory which God bestowed and received. Verse 24, all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy. through the redemption which is provided by Christ Jesus. 25. Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation, to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. So what was the work of Christ? To fulfill the law, right? And to provide cover or forgiveness of sins. That's just what he just said. Right?
Right.
Okay. Ron, 26 through 30, please.
1.
Huh?
Through 31.
Through 31. 31, yes. Okay.
To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Whereas boasting then, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith.
Amen.
Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
Okay. So, through Christ establishes the law and the way of being cleansed of the sin that's shown by the law. Right? The law, we just saw, the law was given to show sin. Right? The New Testament shows sin also. So, in doing that, Christ cleansed us of our sins by going to the cross. Right? So, and basically what he's telling them is, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Christian, the same principle applies, that through Christ, you're cleansed of your sin. Okay? Can we go to chapter 4? Oh, yeah, we're going to plan it on. Let's go to Romans 4, and we'll do verses 1 through 5.
Okay. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, had found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And that was Abraham.
Wow. Well, that's some pretty good stuff here. We need to talk about this. Romans 4, we're going to start at verse 1. But if so, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, humanly speaking? So Abraham is considered the cornerstone of the Jewish church. Right? Mm-hmm. This is the forefather. This is the one who basically started the Jewish church. What did he, finding out? How does this affect his position and what was gained by him? Verse 2. For if Abraham was justified, established as just by acquittal from guilt. So, Abraham, one of the ways Abraham was justified was that he was acquitted of any guilt by faith. Okay? By good works that he did, then he was grounds for boasting, but not before God. Verse 3, it says, For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed in, he trusted in God, and it was accredited to his account as righteousness. So because he walked in faith, he believed God and lived by the principles, it was accounted to him for, by faith. Right? Because he walked it. Yeah. He actually walked the walk, not just talked the talk. Mm-hmm. So what's God expected us to do? The same thing. Mm-hmm. Right? That at whatever level we're at. See, did Abraham know everything that he knew at death the day he was born? Yeah. No. So this is a walk where we grow, right? So every day should be a growing experience. So it's like, you know, just like being in grade school. How do you get to 12th grade? Well, you go to first grade, then you go to second grade, then you go to third grade, and so on, and eventually you get to 12th grade, right?
Somehow never get there.
Fake it till you make it, right? You know how many people graduated from Dell State that couldn't read or write?
Well, I'd be ashamed of it. It's fine out.
I'm telling you.
Oodles.
Yeah. High school the same way.
Yeah. But I mean, after high school, go to college, you can't read or write, you get a free scholarship, and you get to graduate from college too.
Yeah. A lot of you football players.
That's what it was, all sports. Basketball, football.
Couldn't even read a menu.
Nope.
In a restaurant, really.
Nope.
You know?
Big, strong idiots is all
they are.
Big, strong dummies.
Yeah, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Anyhow. It's by our living it and walking it. Because let's face it, are you going to walk the walk if you don't believe what you're talking? I mean, if you really don't believe that Christ is real, are you going to walk the Christian walk?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So if you swap that around, our demonstration of our faith is our walk.
Right.
So if you're walking a sloppy walk, what's your demonstration of your spiritual walk?
Not very good.
Not very good, right? Does God know everything?
God does.
God knows everything, right? So if he sees us walk a sloppy walk, you think you're hiding that from God?
Nope. He knows all.
He knows all, right? I mean, God knew enough about the Jews to send Paul to talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So... See, that brings us down to verse 5, right? Am I right? Am I in the right spot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, can I say something else about Abraham? Because you're reading about Abraham. And this is in Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. God directed him, and he received it all. And he became very, very wealthy for obeying God.
Yeah. He stepped out in faith.
So, that's what I said. By faith, Abraham did this. You know, and also, in Colossians 3:29, or Galatians 3:29, it's Colossians, I think. Galatians 3:29. And if ye be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He said, if you step out in faith in Christ, everything Abraham had, we had the rights to have also.
Yeah.
We can receive from God just like Abraham did.
That's right.
Because it was through faith, it wasn't through the law. He wasn't under the law.
And if you truly have faith, you will walk the walk because you understand that the alternative is really bad.
Yeah. Well, that's where it's going to prove if you have faith or not. You will prove if you have faith or not. God's not going to sit down and say, oh, yeah, that's my faithful servant. You know, you're going to prove you have faith.
That's right.
By the way you live it.
By the way you live it. Absolutely right. That's right.
You know, I'm sure the Earl's heard a lot of times, a lot of barber stories, but he said, you know, that person, he really lives what he believes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's heard a lot of times say, he makes that he's living what he believes, but I know that character. You know, you can't hide that stuff.
You can't hide.
You're an open book.
That's right. That's right. And I was just thinking that same verse. That's right. I was just thinking that very same verse. You are an open book, read of all men, whether you believe it or not, and whether they accept it or not. You know, the world will accept a believer who is not walking the walk.
Why?
Because the world.
You're a sinner just like they are.
Yeah, it's the world accepted.
So there's no difference between you and a sinner, right?
Right.
So,
but if you're living as a Christian, and you're saying, I should say, if you are saying you are a Christian,
yeah,
and you're not living it, Christians and non-Christians will watch and
absolutely
see.
They
that,
watch you anyhow.
Hey, that you're either a hypocrite.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're both watching you.
Oh yeah. But, you know what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah.
There's so many people. I hear them down sale.
Yeah,
they'll confess they're Christians and they'll talk to you real nice. The next thing they step over there and they're cussing like a sailor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here one, you're over here.
Yeah.
And then you're over here. You can't. That's
yeah
like being on. You're
you
not
see,
in the middle of
the
fence.
You see a lot of that.
Yeah.
You're sitting
in the fence, and what's God say? If you're lukewarm, we'll spew you right out of his mouth.
There you go.
Moses said,
surely your sins will find you.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's
oh,
a good
yeah
one. Yeah.
Right in front of other people. That's where you reveal yourself.
Yep. So
we've got to be careful.
This is important stuff here that we're covering. It really is. Because this is really the foundation of what being a Christian is all about.
It's life and death.
It's
life and death and the power.
That's absolutely right. It is life and death. Whose life and death? Yours.
That's right.
Yours. You are. Are you fooling God?
No.
Who are you fooling?
Yourself.
That's absolutely right.
Maybe a lot of others.
The joke is on you.
Yeah.
You
the
don't
joke
fool God.
Is on
you.
You
can fool everybody, but you don't fool God.
Right.
That's it.
Well, I think a lot of people want to be Christians, but they don't want to walk the walk.
That's exactly right. They want to claim to be Christians, but they
want
to live like the world.
You see a lot of that.
You absolutely do.
And it's easy to be a Christian. Just treat people like you want to be treated.
That's it.
It ain't no biggie. Jesus didn't make it hard. He said it's so easy that neither a fool or a wayfaring man should miss it.
That's right.
And you get all these educated people with a bunch of degrees trying to explain to you how you ought to live for Christ. And you can find that some of them, it'd be hard for you to be convinced that they're living for Christ.
Yeah.
That's telling you.
It's like you find in a little kid's book, story of the little red hen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making a loaf of bread.
Yeah. And how does the story go?
Well, she was going to make a loaf of bread.
Okay.
And she asked people to help her plant the wheat. Nobody wanted.
Yeah.
She had everything she had to do to work.
Yeah.
She asked for help and nobody would help her.
Yeah.
But when she made the bread, everybody wanted to eat
there.
It.
Get a lot of friends. A lot of things. That hadn't changed, but
hadn't changed.
It's just like the Lord.
Changed one now.
They all come, but she refused. No, none of you get any. You didn't help me.
That's right.
So if you don't walk the walk, you're going to be out.
That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But Jesus said the same thing when he said about the 10 smart virgins, 10 foolish virgins that put oil in the lamp, that had the word of God with them.
Yeah.
Enough to sustain them.
Yeah.
And when their lamp was out, they're in the dark.
That's it. Okay, who read last?
Pop-up's turn now.
Pop-up's turn.
No, it can't be.
Six through ten?
Just as David also describes the blessedness of man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Abraham justified. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while circumcised.
Okay. So, he walked the walk. I mean, in simple terms, Abraham did what God wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're all calling him Father Abraham.
Yeah.
And saying you got to be circumcised because you're a Jew in order to make it. And Abraham wasn't. He was before the law.
That's right.
And said, they just did whatever their system said to do to bring in the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible says bring in the sheaves, and they say bring in the money, we'll buy the sheaves.
I guess there wasn't any circumcision before.
Huh?
I guess there wasn't any such thing as circumcision before Abraham.
Well, Jews don't get circumcised anyway, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
If they're not, they would tell you ain't a Jew.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, the eighth day.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody does now.
Well, they're changing again now. The medical says it's better if you don't.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That I see now a big medical thing.
Huh.
Okay.
Nothing new under the sun. Everything is, was, everything is that comes, already been.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So that took us down to verse 10. Okay, and it's Lois' turn, 11 through 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go
and
for it.
And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he has while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe through they are uncircumcision, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision, to whom those who not only are of circumcision, but who also walketh in the steps of the faith, which our father Abraham, and why still uncircumcised.
That's right.
For the promise that he would be their heirs of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect. Because the law bringeth about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression.
What did he just say? Say something really important.
If there's no law, there's no transgression.
Yeah.
There's no law, there's no transgression. But before that, he said that by walking in faith and doing the things that Abraham did, that opened the door for your blessings.
Sure.
Right? So if you want to walk in the New Testament under a blessing, in an attitude of blessing from God, then you need to walk the walk also, because if you don't, you don't get blessed. Abraham was blessed before circumcision because he walked the walk in faith.
Right.
And he did what God told him to do. And that's what, and people today want to keep talking about wanting to walk in blessings and all that stuff. But if you're not walking the walk, you can't be blessed.
And right. Those people,
because you cut yourself off.
Yeah.
You are the one who cut yourself off.
If those people in Abraham's day would have walked in faith,
yes,
they wouldn't need the law.
That's right.
Abraham, he walked in faith, left his family,
yeah,
parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters. And they all tried to talk him out of it. They say, hey, well, you want to go out and search for another God? For we got a whole bunch of gods. Yeah. You surely ought to find one of them you like, all those false gods of today.
Yeah.
But because he walked in faith and the others started getting away from God, he said, well, let me show you this, dude. He said, you're going to have the law to show you what you can't do. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're committing adultery. So I'm going to make a law. You can't commit adultery. And today, that would be the same thing. If somebody was driving like an idiot down the road going 100 miles an hour, I said, whoa, you're going to kill somebody. And the Bible said, I should not kill, so we're going to make that 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it would protect you and the other people. So you had to make a law to protect the people from themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He said, you all are not going to walk in faith like Abraham did. So we've got to make, God said, I've got to make a law to protect you against your own self.
Yeah, and that's basically what he did.
Yeah.
He created the law because everybody was messing up so bad. Okay, that took us down to 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's my turn, right? We're doing okay here? Yeah, we're doing good. Okay, so starting in 16, and it says, therefore, in inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and dependence entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, right? So inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. He says real clear right here. Let's see. Therefore, inheriting the promise. Back in verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and depends entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, or God's unmerited favor to you, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and inheritance and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed to our father. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks to the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So basically, God is speaking into existence the things that are not seen because of Abraham's faith. Right? That's basically what he's saying. God is bringing into existence things that Abraham is standing in faith for. 18. For Abraham, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numerously shall your descendants be. 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotency of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah, his wife. No unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Yep. Wow. So, who really started the blessings of Abraham? Abraham did, because he walked in faith.
He walked in faith. Right? God, yeah.
That's right.
Everything.
God wouldn't have done anything for Abraham's descendants or his heirs.
Or Abraham.
Or Abraham if he hadn't walked the walk. Right?
You know, when you hear a voice on the inside of you.
Right.
And it's the first time that known that it was a voice inside you, say, yeah, I'm going to follow that voice. I'm going to believe that. Then God did talk to him to where he hears it.
You can hear that.
Huh?
You can hear that.
Oh, you can hear it now.
Absolutely.
You can hear it now.
I mean, I've heard people say, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can.
That's right.
Yes, you can.
It's talking to you inside, and it's talking to you here.
It's almost like you're talking back to
him.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. That's when people are really having a conversation with God.
That's when you're
That's when they really get intimate with God.
That's
and
right.
They can walk in that. People don't understand. You can walk in that.
Yep.
You know, you read the word sometime, you'll be reading the Bible, and there's a scripture, it looks like it comes 3D all of a sudden. And you know it's not 3D, but it comes out 3D to you.
Yep.
And the Lord is showing you something right there for you, for your
That's
life,
right.
for your lifestyle,
right.
for you to grow in Him, and he's talking to you. And He talks to you just like girls said. You can hear that.
Oh, absolutely.
You can hear it, and you can feel it.
That's right.
And you really feel it.
And nobody can't tell you it ain't real.
You can really feel it.
The world can tell you it ain't real. And even if you deny it, you still know that you felt it, you still know you heard it.
Yes.
Well, you figure how old Abraham was, so you know the faith. He was 100 years old and Sarah was still barren.
Yep.
And he strengthened him, but he also strengthened her.
Absolutely.
Because he had to for her to forbear a child.
That's right.
Because she was, what, in her 80s?
No, she was 90.
She was 90 years old. Okay. Yeah.
So did she walk in faith?
She had to walk in faith. Yeah, because Abraham, he had to really trust God. I mean, there was no doubt in that man at all.
Well, Isaac was promised to him, but they were very, very young when he was promised to him. Now they're very, very old.
Very old.
And
they
got Ishmael,
I mean.
And that's from another woman
that was
a housekeeper.
Yeah.
And Abraham and Sarah said, "You go with Ishmael." So I mean, with the housewoman, and he said, "Yeah, yeah, no problem here." So I do that. I mean, that's about the way it was. So thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, Mom.
Yeah. We're on the same page, he said to Mom. But that's what he did. He had Ishmael. Yep. So now that here it is later. And after Sarah died, I think Abraham had more kids by other women too.
Oh yeah.
And
he was over 100 too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that Isaac might have been born sooner if he had not?
Yeah, I do.
With the
because they try to make God's word come to pass on their level, and that ain't God's level.
That's right.
It weighs way, way, way above our weight.
That was setting into her, mom, because she said, "Gosh, I'm not getting any younger, and God promised me a child, and here, I don't know, I'm getting pretty old." When you pass, you're in your 90s. Come on.
Can you see Abraham when God says, "You and Sarah's gonna have a baby"? And he said, "Hey, have you looked at it, Sarah, lately, Lord? I ain't got much to work with here."
Hey, ain't done much for him to work with either.
Oh,
can't be that good either.
So anyhow, so this all of this goes back to operating in faith.
Right. Sure it does.
And if you want the faith to work, you have to know the word. And you have to apply the word to your life, not simply talk the words. You actually have to apply it to your life. Now, this is a good point. You just brought up a good point. When God initially talked to Abraham about...
Well done. Yes.
When God initially talked to Abraham about the son coming, Did Abraham have enough faith to go through with it?
Sure.
Well,
he did.
He
evident.
Yeah, he ended up with enough faith.
Yeah.
But he didn't have enough faith to last the whole distance, and I believe he.
Oh, you mean when he first heard that?
Yes, when he first
when
he was heard it. Yes, because he took on the handmaiden and had a baby by her.
Yeah, it
right?
is.
Well, I think he let lust overtake his judgment.
Well, I think so too. But this goes back to...
So Sarah worked that out. She said, "God promises a child, and I want this son."
Yeah.
But the son was supposed to be Isaac, not Ishmael.
Yeah. But apply it to... Okay, let's apply it to today. Because you pointed it out, and it's really true, but it's worth talking about. When you and God come into a covenant, and you agree, God has called you to do whatever, right? Now, you have a responsibility to walk in that covenant to do whatever God tells you to do,
right?
Okay. Now, if you get sidetracked, you changed your part of the covenant. You didn't do what you said you were going to do. But God still had that covenant, right? Now, what is God doing this whole time? Trying to bring you back into line with the covenant so he can complete the covenant, right? So when you try to help God with a situation, right, a lot of times you actually mess yourself up. And when God's time is right, God will complete it. And usually by jumping in and trying to, God, maybe you meant this and going to do something, you're really messing God up.
Yeah.
Right, or messing your situation up.
Because he told him and Sarah would have a child, not that he with the handmaid.
That's right.
So he wasn't
his faith slipped.
He could have wavered a little bit there.
Yep.
Because he's really, God talked to him constantly, had to, because there was nobody reading a book to him. So
there were no books. Right. Yeah. But that was an important point. That was a good point. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's. Has everybody got a couple more minutes here? Yeah. And we'll read the last few verses here. Ron, you want to take 21 through 25?
Can you start at 20?
20? Okay.
Because that brushes it all up right
there. Oh, okay. Go ahead, 20 through 25. Yes.
He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Okay. Wow, that's good stuff. So because Abraham walked in faith, it was accredited to him for righteousness. In verse 23, but the words, it was credited to him, were written not for his sake only, but they were written for our sake too. Righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, was raised to secure our justification, right? Mm-hmm. So Christ did all of this for us, but we only get it if we walk in faith and believe it and actually live it.
Right.
Because by living it, we show that we believe it.
Right. If you don't believe it, you won't receive it.
That's right.
Well, you said Abraham walked in faith to get it, and if you want it, you got to walk in faith to get it.
That's right.
Well, when Nolan said that, some people believe, do as I say, not as I do, or something.
Yep.
You hear people say they can get away with things because God don't judge you by what you do, but what's in your heart. And that is just as wrong as what the Jews were saying.
What you're doing is what is in your heart.
That's what I was doing.
What you're doing is what is in your heart.
If you're doing evil, the evil's in your heart. They,
they're just trying to reword it.
That's right.
You can't reword that. You can't. That ain't going to work.
Yeah.
That ain't going to fly.
No.
You know, I got to tell you this. This guy told his wife, said, listen, he was dying. A cancer. And he said, listen, I know they say you can't take it with you. He said, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to give my very best shot. He said, we're going to the bank and we're going to take out a bunch of money. So he got two little briefcase and he put $100,000 in each one of them. He said, now sit these in the attic. He said, when I'm leaving on my way up, I'm going to grab them. I'm taking it with me. So after the funeral and all, and everything calmed down and all, a couple weeks later she thought about that. She said, I'm going to go up there and see if it's still there. She went upstairs and she looked in the attic, and sure enough, both of the briefcases was right there. She said, maybe you should put them in the basement.
Ooh.
Oh.
There's a lot of people think they can take it with them.
Yeah. You know what Jack Benny said? He said, if I can't take it with me, then I won't go.
He was wrong. And what they asked that Jew rabbi about Rockefeller, he said, what did he leave? They left everything.
That's it.
Didn't take nothing.
That's right. And you're not going to take anything with you?
That's right.
That's why it's important to lay up treasures in heaven. How do you lay up treasures in heaven?
Right down here.
Doing the word. Walking
there
the word.
You go. Just what we were talking about tonight, right? You lay up treasures in heaven by working to work, you know, or walking to walk, not just talking to talk.
Right.
You reap what you sow.
It's a way of life. It's just a way of good life.
Yep. All right, Pete, close us in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together, enjoy one another, enjoy your word. Share your glorious word, learn of you, Father, and knowing that you are in our hearts and you're in there to stay, Father, and correct us and teach us and lead us and guide us. We thank you for it, Father. We ask the blessings of the word of God on everyone here and everyone all over the world that study it, Lord. bring them to an intimate relationship with you, Father, in your glorious word, that they will walk humbly before you and do what's right and walk in your blessings, walk in your rewards, walk in all that you give us, Father, every day, every good and perfect gift comes down from you, Father, that we appreciate it and enjoy it and thank you and bless your holy name for it. In Jesus' gracious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you for drawing all people unto you. Father, for opening up the hearts of the people who listen to this, Father, and that they would receive you and live a life that is acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. What would the world be without this?
That's right.
Be a bad place, man.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.